WMMC HD3 Detroit, KMPS HD3 Seattle, WBMX HD3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
This is Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston and some of the best co-hosts and fascinating topics of consciousness available. Shift Happens with Chandler David Watson, Tracy McBurney's Incredible Energy Consciousness, Mikael Mears Financial Consciousness, and nuclear physicist Thomas Campbell with Quantum Physics and Consciousness. It's an incredible mix of the best teachers on consciousness on every show. Call Intuitive Soul and Friends now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Good afternoon. It is Intuitive Soul and Friends. This is the last Friday of the month, and so I'm always excited when Tom is with us. We have Thomas Campbell here today. He is the author of a trilogy of books called My Big Toe, and so therefore his website is My Big Toe, but there's hyphens in between, so it's my-big-toe.com. You can find a wealth of knowledge on YouTube if you Google his name. You can also download his books from Google. Tom is an amazing man who offers the gentlest and simplest of guidance to bring us all into a state of love. So, again, thank you, Tom.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you, Lori, for the opportunity to share.
Yay. So we've been discussing, because I have decided that I'm going to write a book about when the law of attraction doesn't work. And we've been sort of kind of hosting a bunch of different shows on it. And Tom has been very kind and generous in giving us his point of view, which I always respect and admire so much. And today we're going to talk about the unconscious. Little did I know that Tom has a full show of what he's going to discuss with us about whether the unconscious actually exists. So I am looking forward to this one.
Okay, well, I guess let's just get started. The question that you gave to me, you know, what you were thinking about, was how can we overcome these contradictory beliefs buried in our unconscious?
Yes.
Okay, so here we are trying to be, you know, a good person, trying to evolve, trying to have quality consciousness, but these beliefs that we have, the fears that we have that are outside of our intellect, which puts them out of our reach, sort of, in our subconscious, they just keep tripping us up and causing us to, you know, do things that are not helpful. Right. So the question was, how do we overcome these contradictory beliefs buried in our consciousness? So I'd just like to talk about that a little bit. Unconscious beliefs are not actually contradictory at all. The unconscious is also who and what we are. You know, it's the real us. At the core, you know, that's us. That's the way we are. It's not that we're this really good, you know, wonderful person who's true and terrific, and then we have this mean old, you know, subconscious that isn't on board with us, and it's the part that has all the ego and the fear and the stuff in it. It's that ego and stuff and fear. That's us. Okay, so we want to simply focus on overcoming beliefs and ego that are generated by our fear. That's kind of the clear part of it. It's not that we need to deal with the unconscious or somehow, you know, get rid of that stuff in the unconscious. It's that we need to in general grow up. Okay, we'd like to believe that we are evolved people, grown full of good love and intent, stuck with this nasty, uncontrollable subconscious that seems to have a mind of its own. We can't be directly responsible for what lies beyond our control, can we? You know, outside of our consciousness, outside of our intellectual control, you know, what can we do about that? You know, the question, how can we change that part of us that's hidden in a dark place beyond our immediate or direct control? You know, it seems like a good question, but, you know, most of the difficulty in answering it is created by the beliefs that formulate the context of the question. So let's think about that for a minute. Our problem is that our model of the mind is skewed. And that is because we believe in the Freudian view. The skewing prevents us from seeing the real problem. So we ask, how can we overcome the unconscious part of ourselves in order to become whole, happy, evolving beings of love? When we should be asking is, how do we get rid of the fear? How do we get rid of the ego? How do we get rid of the beliefs? There really is no such thing as our unconscious selves, a separate part of us that needs to be dealt with. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the Freudian structure. We need to supplant Freud's structural model with a better, more general one. Freud's model is based on a concept where normal is defined as healthy and well-adjusted. The problem is that these normal, healthy, and well-adjusted individuals are completely wrapped in fear, ego, expectation, and belief. So being normal in our culture amounts to being wrapped in fear, ego, expectation, and belief. That's what's normal. That's the way normal people are. One should be striving to become abnormal.
Right.
So in Freud's view, conscious mind, it's what we think about and operate on. And a lot of times people who don't understand that there is a larger aspect of consciousness, that's what they mean when they say consciousness. They're talking about our intellect.
Right.
Okay, it's what we use to operate on, analyze, and control with our minds. Okay, I call that basically the, operating on the intellectual level. We are a whole integrated being, okay? And this whole integrated being can operate and function on various levels. Now, Freud then defines the unconscious mind as everything else, okay? So you've got your intellect that's aware and is manipulating and planning and analyzing, and then you have everything else, which is outside your intellect, therefore unconscious, since the intellect's really what's defined as your consciousness. Okay, so this is now the Freudian view. So what is this unconscious? Well, it's the stuff that's hardwired and learned programs that run in the background, even occasionally in the foreground. And they run automatically. These programs execute outside of our awareness, that is outside of our intellect, and beyond our control. Thus, we, within this model, become more or less slaves, right, to this unconscious mind that does as it will. So in Freud's time, as in our own time, the normal intellect was almost exclusively used to serve, protect, and secure the self. Thus, in the Freudian model, the term ego is the mental structure concerned with self, self-image, self-esteem, all about taking care and assessing the value and needs of number one. Freud and I have the same definition of ego. I agree, that is what ego is. Eventually, Freud and others realized that this model had a hole in it, that it was possible for humans to exhibit a higher level function that was more about others than self, and that was called the superego. Now, here's a little comment from Wikipedia. If you look up Freud in Wikipedia, it will give this structure. Id, ego, and superego are the three parts of the psychic apparatus defined in Sigmund Freud's structural model. According to this model or psyche, the id is the set of uncoordinated. Now, what does uncoordinated mean? That basically means you don't coordinate it, with the intellect. It's uncontrolled by the intellect. So these are the unconscious programs.
Okay.
So we'll go back to this. Id is the set of uncoordinated instinctual trends. Okay, the ego is organized, realistic part, the organized, realistic part, and of course that's taking care of number one. It's a necessary, realistic requirement of existence, when in fact Freud's healthy ego was a dysfunctional response to a dysfunctional society or culture. And the superego, again back to, the written words in Wikipedia, and the superego plays the critical and moralizing role. Mm-hmm. What does that mean, moralizing role? That means finding the proper interaction, optimizing, okay, your interaction with others. And by optimizing, I mean optimizing within the bigger picture, not just for the moment and for you, but for the bigger picture. Okay, the Freudian model was generated by fear and ego, driven individuals. You can tell I'm reading some of this. I've been working on this. I'm sorry for that.
I'm doing
the best I can. The Freudian model was generated by fear and ego-driven individuals trying to model the mental structure of fear and ego-driven individuals. That's why our view of the mind, primarily a Freudian view, is skewed toward the ego being the necessary, practical, healthy foundation of a well-balanced, healthy individual. We also get the uncontrollable id, the subconscious, that drags us through the unsavory and compulsive alleyways of life by the hair, or by the gonads, or by the fear, and the the ego, and so on, the beliefs. Okay, and we have the superego, which is love, caring, compassionate, moral, that provides us with a theoretically higher self that generally remains just out of our reach. Our fear, ego, and belief-driven selves find that superego is, we just can't quite get our hands on this higher self. We kind of believe we have one, but, it doesn't seem to be there right when we need it. But that subconscious, that unconscious that's beneath, or sub means beneath our conscious mind, now there's one that we can't get rid of. Talking about being there when we need it, it's there when we don't need it. Okay, so all of it together is simply us at the being level. Okay, we are a unified single being at the being level. We're not a collection of piece parts. Okay, now here's an alternative model that talks about not things, like we don't have an id, an ego, and a superego. Those are piece parts. We're talking about a way of operating, a way of being. So we can operate on an intellectual level, and we can operate on the being level. Okay, now the intellectual and being levels are not things. Okay, they're not piece parts of our psyche, but are differing functional processes or approaches to self-awareness. The being level is the whole thing, who and what we are, while the intellectual level is the being level's analytical function. It decides, judges, compares, plans, and manipulates. Now, this is important. In most of us, the intellect, the being level's analytical function, right, that's the intellect, has not evolved enough to be any more than the voice of the ego, all about I. That is why Freud saw the intellect basically as the ego. The ego is about self, because he was looking at people. How do these people work? And that's the way people work when they're full of fear, ego, and belief. But the intellect has a more legitimate, more mature function besides the juvenile function of giving voice to the fear, ego, and belief. It's the director of the resources and quality at the being level. Okay, and the director of the details of interaction, that is keeping track of how to optimize one's value to others, and it answers the, how to questions. The, how do I, help so-and-so, find their, find value? How do I do this for others? So, or how do I best go about that? So it answers those. So the intellect does have a valuable addition, and it isn't just in expressing the ego.
Good point. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so we're going to put you on
ready
hold.
To break?
Yep, we are.
Okay.
How did you know?
I could just tell. I can feel the tension in the air. All right. Well, I'm more than halfway done, so that'll give us time then just to talk about it after I spit this whole thing out.
That's great. All right. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. We have Thomas Campbell with us today. Tom can be found at his website, My Big Toe, but there's hyphens in between. So it's my-big-toe.com, or you can Google his name, Thomas Campbell or Tom Campbell. You can find him on YouTube. He's just all over the place. When we come back, we'll also talk about a workshop he's doing coming up in November. It is in Portugal, but it will be amazing, I am sure. You're listening on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
CBS Radio, The Sky, and NewSkyRadio.com are presented only for entertainment purposes and are not responsible for choices and decisions made as a result of such advice or other information offered.
Is bruised and on fire, can stop the world, can stop desire. And I can't turn around, and I can't turn around. Some days
give down. Keep your eyes on the road. Can't stop the world. Can't stop the phones. And I can't turn around. And I can't turn around. Some days I can see the future.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Today we have Tom Campbell. I really can't say enough about Tom. I love how he brings things and the perspective that he brings from a science background and a metaphysical background. And it just, he can make it much more simplistic than many people can. And I know that he's given us a lot of information right now, but we will discuss it so it will become more simple if you're having problems understanding what we're talking about. But I think it's clear. I think most people that know Freud's work understand what you're talking about. So I'm just excited to hear what you're going to go from there. But I do want to talk about this workshop that you're having that's coming up in November in Portugal. That sounds amazing. The 10th and the 11th.
Yeah, 10th and 11th. It's going to be a lot of fun. Going to be two complete days, and it'll be everything My Big Toe. You know, there'll be theory, there'll be time for teaching how to go out of body, how to remote view, healing with the mind. Those will all be subjects, and we won't just talk about it. We'll do it. There'll be a little hands-on learning sessions there, so it'll be fun.
It will be. And you know, I know I keep talking about your website, which is My Big Toe, but with hyphens in between, which is my-big-toe.com. And right at the break, we were talking about your forum, which, you know, has a wealth of information. So YouTube, I mean, this workshop in Portugal, it will be up on YouTube as soon as it can be. You have, you know, days and days of videos that people could get information, but your forum is also very active and has a wealth of knowledge on there. So really, you know, people, if you want to know more information, you want to bring in the science, metaphysical, and into a simplistic way, you know, take advantage of this information that's out there. Tom is incredible. But let's continue with our conversation.
Okay. Yeah, and to get to the forum, I should tell them, just go to the website, the www.mybigtoe, and there's a button on the page that you get to that says discussion group, and that's really the forum. And once you get in there, it's basically a name and a password to try to keep the bots out. And then you can read it. It's a lot of stuff that's been going on now for about 7 or 8 years, so it's a deep resource. All the questions that you probably can think of asking. Okay. Somebody's probably already asked it at least 4 or 5 times in that forum, and you'll have a whole selection of answers and discussions on it. So it is kind of an interesting place.
It really is.
All right. We'll go back to this this little actually, rewriting Freud, replacing Freud is the better way to say it. We're just going to replace Freud's very limited concept of mental structure with a much more general concept. That then we won't get stuck in this this mind frame of how do we deal with this subconscious that always is kind of biting us and dragging us back. Right. We'll see it in a different perspective. Where then the answer. How do we do that? It's a lot clearer. So where we were before the break was I was just saying that the intellect actually does have a legitimate mature function. It directs what it is, what do I want to do next sort of thing. What's my intent and how do I express that intent in mental or physical ways. So that is a legitimate function, and that does not have to be the same as the ego function of, how can I make sure that I get what I want and that I have things the way I know they ought to be. See, that's just ego. So there's two different things there. Okay, when I talk to people and I say, this place I call the point consciousness, you go into meditation, you get to this point consciousness state where you are nothing but a point of consciousness floating in the void. Okay, that's the beginning state. And I tell people that's the doorway. And what you need to do is just let your ego go, let all the physical world go, and you are just consciousness. And that's your doorway. You can then go heal. You can go out of body. You can do whatever you want. You can remote view, interact with the databases. That's the place to start from. And sometimes people are confused. They say, well, if I let my ego go, and they define ego and intellect as the same thing, just as Freud does. Right. Intellect and ego is all one thing. The intellect is the ego. If I, let that ego go, then, I'm just stuck there, not thinking. How do I use my intellect to guide what I'm doing? Well, you do have an intellect that will make decisions and direct the resources, but it can do that without fear, without the ego, you see. So that part of your intellect is good and necessary. That's the left brain part that tries to make sense out of things and logically goes from one thing to the next so that it all makes sense. So we don't want to get rid of that, but the key here is that part of that intellectual function, that intellectual level, is not the same as Freud's ego. And he had ego and intellect is basically the same thing, you see, because the ego for him was the director, the thing that made decisions, the thing that compares, plans, manipulates, evaluates, decides, judges. You see, that's the intellect, and that's generally also a description of the ego, because most people, that's all they use their intellect for, is to express their fears, ego, beliefs, and that sort of thing. Okay, so let's go on now. These lower entropy functions of the intellect, and by lower entropy, I mean, higher quality, I call them more legitimate and mature, these functions of the intellect that are not about the ego, okay, they're not focused on meeting self's needs and wants. They're not focused on getting. Instead, they're about giving, okay? Fundamentally, they are about intent, not about action. The key question of the intellect is, what is right? What lowers entropy? What optimizes long-term growth, positive evolution for both the system and the individual? Not, what shall I do to make things turn out the way I want them to, the way they should, And you might think that, well, I'm only thinking of other people, it's not about me at all. I know how these people should be. I know the way it should be. I know what's best, and I just need to manipulate and fix things so that it turns out that way because, this is the way it needs to be. Well, that's still just ego. That's not about other people. That's about you. It's it's you want other people to, to see the world as you do, mm-hmm. to have your vision of what they should be doing and how they should be acting. So we talk sometimes about how we're selfless and it's really about others, but often it's not. It's still about yeah. us. Okay. The how shall I act, you see, is the wrong question. It's not about acting or doing, but rather about being. So intent or motivations are the key. Okay, once one is operating on the being level, the action takes care of itself. Right response doesn't have to be manipulated or orchestrated by the intellect. One does something because it is right and natural. It's an expression of self, as opposed to doing something because one's intellect has concluded that it's the best thing to do at the time. The difference is hard for many to get because of the fear, ego, and belief route is the only way that most people have ever experienced life. So sometimes people listen to this and they say, I don't see the difference. You know, what is this, you know, the difference between the, you know, these two ideas, the Freudian idea and my idea of the intellect. Okay, when you are a whole, happy, evolving being of love, you are one with yourself and one with the larger consciousness system. There is no id, ego, or superego. No cranky unconsciousness that holds you back. Your psyche is all one thing. Only you can hold yourself back. You are aware of all the parts and functions of your psyche, your mental makeup. No part is secret or hidden, and none are outside of your control, though actually you control nothing. You just are as you are. You see, you just do as you do. You don't need an intellect to tell you this is the way you should act, because you just act the way you be, pardon my English, but it's just a matter of being. So there is no subconscious or mysterious parts that work in the background to push you this way or that by triggering emotions and needs. All those pushes and pulls that pull at you from the background are simply you interacting with, being jerked around by, your fear, ego, and beliefs. So it's your fear, ego, and beliefs that constitute much of what you call the subconscious. Yes, there are sex drives and fight or flight instincts, but once you subtract fear and ego from these, there is nothing left that jerks you around, that needs to be dealt with in order to optimize your existence. So most of what you are unconscious of remains out of sight and out of control because you have never made a serious effort to become aware of those things. It's the stuff you hide from. It's the stuff you push under the rug. Your unconscious mostly consists of fears you do not want to confront, ego you do not want to see, and beliefs you never question. Well, the only way to deal effectively with that is to confront the fear, look at the ego, and question your beliefs. That starts with an intent to grow up and serious introspection. Wow. Challenge yourself. You have to want to do it. Most of us, no matter what we say, would rather set our clothes on fire, challenge ourselves in that way.
All right, we're going to go to break.
One sentence. Can I do that?
Okay, yep.
We think we should do it, but we don't ever quite get around to it. We never get serious enough to really want to expose our flaws and fix them. After all, the whole point of the ego is to justify and hide our flaws. That's it. So that's the diatribe, right? That's the rant. Now we can talk about it.
Come back. All right. So you're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. This is Thomas Campbell. I can't say enough. Check out his work. There is so much that you can learn and understand, and it can be simplified. And I love that we get to that point on the show all the time. Typically, although this has been a very interesting dialogue that challenges some of the old beliefs that a lot of people have, I think we will still get to the place where it's simple. It's still simplistic. So join us again. We're on Sky Radio. We'll be right back, powered by CBS.
CBS Radio. New horizons, no boundaries. NewSkyRadio.com.
How far will you go? How deep is your love? Your body's bruised and on fire. Can't stop the world, can't stop desire. And I can't turn around. And I can't turn around. Some days I can see the future. Some days you seem so far.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. Well, we have Thomas Campbell with us today, and we have been discussing and maybe looking at a different perspective to the question that we often are kind of giving our power away, which is to our unconscious. Oh, well, you know, I don't know what it is. I don't know what I can do about it. It's unconscious. It's that fault. I mean, I can't do anything.
The devil made me do it.
Yeah. So we, you know, and this is probably one of the last areas where I've even freely given my power away to, although I've been actively trying to understand it. I think that, you know, there's a part of me that still feels maybe a bit victimized by something that I think that, you know, happened when I was not quite born or just when I was born, that's stuck in my unconscious that I'm still looking for, still searching for that, you know, that piece. So by understanding in a more simplistic way that we just keep separating ourselves out by having these different identifications, I think it's a very interesting way of bringing it back into a more holistic and simplistic thought. And then the question becomes, okay, so we do know that there are fears and all the things that we force down that may have been forced down when we were younger, but they still come up all the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what do we do? How do we work with these so that they don't take our power away and they don't, you know, come up in our face and make us, you know, blindside us?
Okay. Well, the very first step, and why I went through all of that in the first half of the show, is that you have to realize that this is not something outside of you.
Right.
This is not something that doesn't belong to you, and this is not something that you're not responsible for. You see, this is who and what you are. So the first step is to embrace it and say, you know, who am I? You know, what is me? And all of those things that have to do with the fear and the ego, you can't banish those and say, oh, they're not me, you know. They're my unconscious. They're part of this programming that runs in the background, and I can't help that. Or that was that way because of what happened to me in a past life. Or, you know, I was knocked over and scared to death by a big dog, and now I'm terrified of dogs. And, you know, I can't help it. That's just the way it is. That's just excuses. So first you have to start with, this is me. This is the way I am. And once you get to that point, it's not, you know, an excuse. It's not something under the rug. It's not the stuff you don't want to see. And that takes courage. A lot of time, people who meditate and then quit meditating, it's because in the meditation state, they come, you know, up close and personal, as they say on the sports channels. They come up close and personal with themselves, and it scares them half to death. They see things. They feel things that they have been pushing under the rugs and denying, and suddenly in that meditative state where their intellect isn't really in control anymore, which means that ego isn't in control anymore, they start running into this stuff and they turn around and run. And they don't want to meditate because they find it very discomforting. You see, first of all, you have to have the courage to say, whoever it is I am in there, you know, I'll face it. I'll deal with it. I will accept it. I won't say, oh, that happened to me in another life, so it doesn't belong to me. It does belong to you, you see. Your consciousness. You're an individuated unit of consciousness going through many lifetimes, and it all belongs to you. So embrace it to begin with. Find out who you are. Don't hide any of it. You know, let all that stuff come to the surface. Find the ego. Find the fear. Name it. Look at it in the eye. And then you have a chance of dealing with it. But until you get to that step, you're never going to deal with it because you're always going to let your ego pretend that it's not really you. And all you need to do is just look the other way and it'll go away. And, of course, it doesn't go away. The sure thing to make sure that something will come up and bite you is to pretend that it isn't there, right? That's like sticking your head in the sand. Oh, that wolf won't get me. I'll stick my head in the sand and the wolf will disappear, you know. That hardly ever works. Sticking your head in the sand doesn't make the wolf disappear. It just gives the wolf, you know, lunch without even having to struggle for it. So we don't want to do that, you know, to ourselves. So that's the first step, is embrace who you are. Look at it. Have the courage to face it. And if it's not pretty, well, that's the way it is. That's okay. Embrace it anyway. It's you, because you have to start from wherever you happen to be, wherever that is. You can't start from any place other than where you are. And then you decide, okay, that's me. Now, what am I going to do about it? You know, what is it that I like and don't like? What needs changing here? And then you start on a plan to change it. And the first thing, the first step I said, which is finding it out, that's really the hardest part. It's not that hard to change once you have the courage to stand up and see it. So the changing is the easier part. The hard part is getting rid of that, you know, finding that ego, tracing that ego back to fear, and then understanding the source of the fear and having the courage to let the fear go, to overcome it. And you do that by accepting whatever the fear is. I'm afraid that if, you know, nobody likes me, nobody will love me, I'm unworthy, whatever it is, and say, well, okay, what if nobody likes me? What if I am just unworthy, you know, and so on? Now, what's the worst thing there? Well, you think about it and say, well, you know, the kids will still love me. My dog will still wag its tail at me. You know, what is really going to happen? And basically, you'll find out that it's not really as bad as you think. Most of these fearsome tigers are paper tigers. It's just our perspective And once we open up and see it, you know, our perspective changes and the solution turns out to be trivial.
Right.
You see, the hard part is just facing it. So how do you face these things? Well, you have to dig them out, because right now most people aren't even aware they exist. Ego? What ego? You know, afraid of things? I fear nothing. You know, that's the way most people feel. I'm not afraid of things, and I don't have any ego, but that's not the case. You know, you have lots of ego. You do fear things. And the point is, you have to just decide that it's important to your growth, to your being, to the rest of your life, just to face it. And some people will say, well, why? You know, okay, I got it all under the rug. I'm doing fine, you know. Leave me alone. Well, you're not doing so fine. You probably will find that there are times in your life that you are upset and angry and unhappy and things aren't the way you want. And, you know, people serve you things and you, you know, that you don't necessarily want to swallow, et cetera, et cetera. All that goes away. You see, your life becomes one of joy, one of peace, one of high quality once you do this. So that's why you need to go do it. Yes, you're getting by sweeping it under the rug perhaps, but that's not – once you compare that to really living in joy and peace and having things, you know, fall at your feet just when you need them and so on, this idea of getting by keeping the bad stuff swept under the rug seems to be a really silly choice, not very productive at all. So first, yes, you need to go do it, and you need to have courage. If you don't have the courage to do it, it won't work. So you have to want it bad enough to screw up that courage to the point that you can see who you are, and then go from there and start with the ego. The ego is easier to see. Look at every time you have a feeling of frustration, every time you feel unhappy, every time you feel angry, every time you get upset, that is you interacting with your ego. Okay, so look at all those times. Every time somebody says something that hurts your feelings, that makes you feel bad, that's you interacting with your ego. Now, for most people, they can find some of those every day. You know, many people, almost every minute of every day, they can find things like that. Well, trace back that ego to the fear. What's the fear that's driving that feeling, that's driving that hurt? And there you'll find the fear. So that's how you do it. Just work back, and sometimes you'll find beliefs that are limiting and in the way. But so there is no magic way, like drink this tonic, you know, on a day when there's a full moon at midnight, and suddenly all your fear and ego will, you know, melt away. You really have to do the hard work of doing it.
That's too bad, because you know tonight there's a full moon tonight, right? So we could have all just gone and had that drink and
dance around the maypole, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And shake your rattle, and the fears will be gone in the morning. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. But you know, it's easier than it sounds. You know, some people say, "Oh no, you know, I don't want to dig all that crap up," but it's really easier than you sound, and it becomes fun and exciting because you can see these things and you kind of roll your eyes at yourself and say, "Oh man, you know, why am I letting that bother me?" And it's kind of a trip, a journey of discovery, and it turns out to be fun. It's not just like working in a salt mine and that it's all this, you know, digging up the crud from under your rug. It becomes fun and interesting and challenging, and it's not such a horrible thing to do. And besides, you feel so much better, and everything works better for you, and your life is easier and more rewarding. So, you know, it's almost like, why not? You know, how can you not do this? It's not that hard, and it leads to so much better life.
Yeah. All right, we're going to go to our last break. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. We have Tom Campbell here today. I love Tom. He brings things again back into a simple and gentle way of looking at who we are and how to, you know, to move back into that space of love instead of allowing our fears to overtake us. He can be found on the internet. Google his name. He's really got a lot of information. YouTube has a lot of, if you're a visual person, YouTube is the place to go, because it gives you all of the workshops and in a visual format. He has three books called My Big Toe. You can download them from Google, but you can also buy them if you like them in physical form. Yeah, we're on Sky Radio, powered by CBS. We'll be right back.
Discover your spirit. Listen to Spirit Guide Radio, where leading spiritual experts serve as guides to nourish your soul. Every weeknight from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern, Heidi Hollis, The Outlander, The Zodiac Girls with Solaris, Laura and Kira, Ask Dr. Doug with Dr. Doug Lear, PSI 911 with Katie, Rhonda, and Christy, Life by Number with Celeste, and Your Reiki Journey with Heidi Harrison. Spiritually Speaking Radio for the soul. CBS Radio's The Sky. Believe.
Now the party's over, I'm so tired. Then I see you come out of nowhere. Much communication in emotion. Without conversation or a notion. Samba take you out of nowhere. When the background fading out of focus. Yes, the picture's changing every moment. And your destination, you don't know.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends, and we have Tom Campbell here with us. I'm just... I'm overjoyed with this conversation that we're having because it brings up so much more that we can discuss, and I have like a billion things that I want to talk about, and of course we don't have as much time. So we will start the conversation and we will, you know, get to as far as we can, and we'll discuss it again. One of the first thoughts I came up with when you were talking about change and how easy it is, one of the things that I think about is our addictions. You know, a lot of us, we don't see them that way. We don't realize them that that's what they are, but we become addicted to certain emotions. We become addicted to distractions. So we, you know, we watch TV, we watch movies, we drink too much, we eat too much. We have all of these distractions that are our addictions to not dealing with our stuff. And it brings us back into these patterns. And so that's the one thing I thought when you were talking about how, about change.
Yeah, well, that's the rut. You know,
yeah.
we get in these ruts. We make habits, and we do that with relationship. Often our relationships become habitual. You know, I do this and you do that, and it's worked, you know, for the last 20 years. So anything other than that seems frightening. You know, well, what if I, you know, what if we don't do that anymore? What could happen? You know, if you make things become unstable, you can't guarantee, you can't control how it might end up. And that's a scary idea. But the whole cornerstone of this is not to have control. It's not that you're supposed to control yourself to produce an outcome. That's a manipulation. That's ego talking. It's you're supposed to just be and see what happens and deal with it, you see? And that's where the courage is required.
Yeah.
You're going to change when you do this. You will not be the same person, and your relationships are likely to change, and your perspectives are likely to change. And you become a happier, you know, more whole person. And that should be good news, but it creates a lot of change, and people are afraid of change. They get in ruts, and it feels comfortable to be in that rut, and they don't want to change that rut. And yes, it is addictions. We have food addictions. We have drug addictions. And when I say drug addictions, I mean things that most people take, like caffeine and sugar and things like that, you know, besides the other kinds of drugs to be addicted to. There's lots of food addictions, the way we eat. You know, it is an addiction. It's a habit. And we become codependent with the other people in our lives who are also in their own ruts and habits. And we're all just kind of chugging along in our own little rut. And we find a rut that minimizes our pain for the moment. And then that's a good rut. We want to stick with it because it's been worse. And we're afraid to change because what if it doesn't get better? What if it gets worse? Well, that's the courage. That's what I'm talking about, courage. You got to step up to that and accept it because you want to grow up. You're not going to grow up just because you're hanging out long enough. You know, and in your biological life, that's not that way. You're going to grow up no matter what you do. But at least you're physically going to grow up. You'll get older. Let's put it that way. You may never grow up, but you'll get older no matter what you do. But in this growing up, as far as the growing the quality of your consciousness and evolving as a conscious being, that only happens if you work at it. If you don't take that bull by the horns and wrestle it to the ground, then, you know, nothing's going to happen. You'll just sit there, and the next lifetime you'll sit there again. And one day maybe you'll wake up. So that is a problem, these addictions. And another problem that you brought up is, you know, there are people who constantly mislead themselves.
Yeah.
You have those people who, because they are aware that being full of, you know, sweetness and light is a good thing to do, then they act the sweetness and light act because they're, you know, that's working from their intellect, again, from their ego. They're acting their life rather than being their life. And there's a huge difference. One's authentic and one isn't. You see, if you live out of your head, if you live out of your intellect, do things because you think you should do them, be ways that you think you should be, and it's all driven by this intellect, then you're not getting anywhere. The whole idea is to let that go. That's the ego. That's the intellect as the voice of the ego. Let that intellect function go. Let it grow up and evolve to become, you know, the director of the being level rather than the instigator and manipulator. Those are two different functions altogether. So you don't get anywhere by acting peace and light. You get someplace by being peace and light. And if you be it, you don't have to act it. It just happens. And as much as you act it, it doesn't bring you to this peace I'm talking about. You live in constant fear of being found out, you know, of constant stress of trying to maintain an image that isn't real.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, you've done an incredible show. I appreciate so much that you offer Tom, you do this with such an open heart. You have no attachment to, even how many people show up to your workshops, because you put them all online afterwards. So I admire your gift to humanity and how you are always striving to offer the clarity and the guidance that, you know, that I seek, and I'm sure many others as well. So I thank you very much, Tom.
You're very welcome. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share something that I hope might be useful to somebody. That's really the point.
I know it will be. So you can find Tom on My Big Toe, hyphens in between, so my-big-toe.com. Find him on YouTube, Google his name, get all the information, because there is so much out there. Thanks again, Tom. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. Tom will be with us the last Friday of September. We're on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.